This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. You can call in toll free and tell us your thoughts. This is Luther,
Jason,
and Pete.
Ian and Mark are out of town tonight. They're in a conference down in Houston, so we're taking over. And you can, too, if you call in. Pete, you just got back from Occupy Wall Street, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I was down there this past Saturday with Ademo and a couple other friends from Keen, Rapture, and Redneck Nick.
Yeah.
It went pretty well. I think we were real productive. Also joined by our buddy Alvin out there. He's from Spanish Harlem and some other folks. We covered a lot of ground that day, and folks were real receptive, man. It was cool.
Yeah, so what was your goal in going down there? What was the idea?
Well,
just to do outreach?
Yeah, going to Occupy was just part of the day. We also went to a Students for Liberty conference in the morning and a national rally to end police brutality that the October 22nd Coalition had. That afternoon. So we went down there to occupy it in the evening and night. And for me personally, it's just to share ideas. I mean, I think it's a target-rich environment. There's a lot of people down there that are disillusioned with the status quo. So just go down there, have conversations, and, you know, that's it. That's it for me.
Yeah, try to expose them to the voluntarist option.
Definitely.
Basically, let them know that there's something else out there.
Right.
Well, I have something here from OccupyWallStreet.org, and I know that we've talked about on this show before stuff from this website. This website had a list of demands a few weeks ago. It was stuff like raise the minimum wage to $20, all kinds of outrageous stuff like that. You know, and this one,
and I've seen other articles on this website, OccupyWallStreet.org, where they say that the real enemy here is neoliberalism, and you can wiki that, but they point to things like the Chicago School and Milton Friedman's influence and things like that. But a lot of things that they describe are corporatism. But I'm not sure. Is this the official voice of the occupation movement? I don't think so.
That's hard to say. I mean, it is OccupyWallStreetST.org. I mean, it's just whoever got to that domain name first, I guess,
right,
you know, and started posting stuff.
And Adbusters, who is the organization that came up with the concept of people occupying Wall Street, they link to this site heavily. So it certainly has a voice, but I think the occupation is made up of a bunch of individuals, and it would be hard to express all of their voices on one website.
Sure, sure. Well, the title of this article is We Need to Create a Parallel Economy, and it was submitted by a user named NonRicher. Warning, if you are a person who wants to be rich someday, who want to be a millionaire or a billionaire, not once, don't read the text below. It's not for you. Well, guys, I guess I can't read this anymore. Does somebody else want to take over?
You're closer to the screen.
Continue. Oh, okay. I do want to be rich someday. It's time to the people who don't want to be rich to unite and create a parallel economy. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to be a millionaire or a billionaire. I only want to have a decent life with dignity and solidarity. I know that there are millions of people like me. Maybe we are the majority of the population. We may call ourselves the non-richers. Non-richers don't want to be rich. Pretty self-explanatory. We, the non-richers, have the power to create a parallel economy designed to promote solidarity and cooperation. The mainstream economy is designed to make a few people rich, while the majority are exploited and treated like objects. We can split ourselves from the mainstream economy. We can create a parallel economy. He's kind of being repetitive here, but we don't need to create an isolated society to do this. We don't need to create any rural community. We can do this living in the same cities that we live in today. We also don't need to make any violent revolution. Violent revolutions never end well. We don't need to oppress the assholes who want to be rich. We simply ignore them. The parallel economy should be a solidarity economy, a cooperative economy. It could be composed by a nationally coordinated network of workers, cooperatives, consumers, Consumer cooperatives.
So they're advocating for a nation in this document.
Nationwide, I think, is what they're thinking about. It would be almost a sub-nation, just an economy that would be widespread.
I don't see any definition between a certain arbitrary political boundary, but I find nothing I take issue with. I mean, if certain individuals want to form such an association and trade amongst each other and not impose it on others, then so be it.
Sure, and I agree. In fact, that's the idea behind agorism, which is something we've talked about on this show. It's something I am very much a supporter of, and I know that you guys are as well.
I like everything also, except, I mean, if people want to be rich, that's great. I mean, I think we're all going to be millionaires one day with the way inflation is going. But so I don't know about any cap on this. Anyway.
Right. Obviously, this person... they have at least access to a computer and the internet, so they don't want to live in abject poverty. I mean, I think they're probably just saying the difference between, like, this opulent lifestyle that they see that exists because of the state, you know, and not just, like, having your basic needs met.
Well, it sounds to me like they want to create their own socialist economy, which I think is fine as long as I don't have to participate in it,
exactly.
Which it doesn't sound like they say I have to.
Now, when you say a socialist economy, what do you mean? Like a gift economy?
Like, you know, everybody co-owns everything, everybody shares the wealth, you know, everybody, the profits are divided equally, that sort of stuff.
Hmm. What we're seeing in the occupation and Wall Street is that the people that are serving food for 18 hours a day don't want to continue feeding people that aren't producing, that aren't there for the occupation, and that they may be homeless and they're just showing up there because there's plenty of food.
That's
and
true.
There's plenty of money, but they don't want to spend all their time doing that, so... they're already seeing a downfall into that model.
Sure. Well, he claims that these are the three basic pillars of the parallel economy. The cooperative patent office, which right away I'm not too excited about. The cooperative bank. Cooperative banks are okay. I have a federal credit union that I use. And the co-op mart, which would be a cooperative competitor to Walmart. So they're saying that the three tiers would be... the patent office, which would be an organization to coordinate and register non-commercial open patents. An open patent is an open source patent. Those patents would be the basis for technological innovation in the cooperatives that are the part of the parallel economy.
So do they tease out what would happen if, say, one of us not active in that particular form of economy produced something and then...
It says that only the cooperatives that are members of the parallel economy should be allowed to use those patents for free, no royalties. So really, what can they do? I mean, and if it's right. open sourced, what's the point of even having a patent office?
Yeah, just put it on the internet
yeah,
and
what's
share
the
information.
Mechanism?
Yeah, it's sort of self-defeating. The cooperative bank is the financial basis of the parallel economy. This transparent and democratically controlled bank would be the provider of credit to the cooperatives, including the newly started cooperatives. It should be a kind of national credit union. All the non-richers should hold accounts in this bank and make it stronger. The cooperative bank is crucial to the development of the parallel economy. It will be the source of funds to the new cooperatives. Now, I think that having an alternative bank is a good idea. I don't think it's necessarily crucial to having an alternative economy. I mean, it certainly helps out a lot because then you have a safe place to store your wealth.
Sure, but they say bank instead of banks or, you know.
Right, so it sounds like it wants to be centralized.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah, they just have one bank for their community, it sounds like. So it's. But I don't know, would they have inflation? Would they have... they charge?
I don't know. Like, would they have their own money? It doesn't really say.
Sounds like an attempt to centralize some of the functions of the occupation, but what I like about the occupation is it's decentralized.
Right. Yeah, which is what I like about agorism, is
right.
that it's just everybody working towards a common goal of success, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the co-op mart would be the commercialization channel to the products made by the cooperatives. It would be the cooperative competitor to Walmart. It would be a national chain of cooperative supermarkets. It should be one of the first cooperatives to be established because it will be the link between the workers' cooperatives and the non-richer consumers. So they'd be making their products and selling their products to each other, and the mart would be the medium that they would do that in, which isn't a terrible idea. I mean, you can see markets like that pop up in a black economy or a gray economy.
Yeah.
So
wherever there's demand.
Yeah.
But why not have a lot of markets, a lot of banks?
Right, and have them compete.
Yeah, open banking.
Well, he claims that this is about cooperation, not competitiveness.
We cooperate all the time, us agorists, so those of us that believe in the counter economics.
Sure, sure. So more on this and your calls coming up. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. More coming up.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Again, that's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The Ruger LC9, compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP, features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high-visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
Hey everybody, Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate. So you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery, so you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
I use WebEx anytime I need to meet with clients. With the new WebEx high-quality video, it's like meeting face-to-face.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. How do you use WebEx? Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WEBEX.com.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. 1-800-570-3733. That's the number. You can call in, talk about anything you want, from the political to the personal. This is Luther tonight.
And Jason.
And Pete.
And Mark and Ian are, of course, out of town. They're at a talkers convention, talking it up, I guess. That's what they do. So they left me here in charge, and we were talking about the Occupy Wall Street and the idea of creating a parallel economy. This was put forth by just some user on the OccupyWallStreet.org website, and his idea sounds, you know, he's got the idea right. His heart's in the right place, it seems, but he just is misunderstood about a few concepts or unclear about some other stuff. And we actually have Status Doug on the line. Doug, are you with us?
Doug, are you?
Hey. All right. And you had some questions, actually, about the cooperative bank. Is that right?
Yeah, man. I just want to know, what is that guy smoking, dude? He thinks some like, national credit union is going to replace banking, and some national Walmart is going to replace retail stores? I mean, what the hell?
Right. It sounds like pretty much like what we have now, except it's just cooperatively owned instead of a corporation.
Except you're going to take a gun. Right, so here's the plan, dude. Here's the status plan. All right, I'm going to take my gun. I'm going to take it out of my pocket. I'm going to stick it at your head, and I'm going to say, hey, you're going to pay for Walmart. You're going to pay for the status Walmart. Everybody's going to shop here, or else I'll shoot you.
I don't think he's... he's talking about creating an alternative to other options. I don't think that he's talking about using forcing people to do that. And the term national is a bit confusing, but I don't believe that he's talking about within the geographic boundaries of the United States of America.
Doug?
I think they're just advocating for an institution that people who share similar beliefs all, you know, cater, utilize, instead of having accounts at currently corporate banks or doing some other mechanism.
Yeah, but he wants the government to do that, right?
No,
I mean, that's
doesn't
the
sound like
guy.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, he hasn't mentioned it here in the article at all. It sounds to me like it's going to be, you know, like a club. You know, it will be member owned and member operated and member supported.
We have that, though. I mean, you have that everywhere. You have credit unions everywhere. The market provides that stuff, man.
Yeah, that's true. And there are cooperatives everywhere as well.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Sounds like this gentleman just wants some big cooperatives to compete against the big corporations or the big government.
See, that's where I'm confused. It sounded to me, when you were explaining it, that he wanted... But like the state to kind of come in and say, hey, we're going to start this cooperative and, you know, everything's going to be great. Everybody's, oh my God, everything's going
to
be perfect.
He doesn't mention that exclusively, but generally you do have to register your cooperative as a business with the government. All right. Anything else on your mind tonight, Doug?
Yeah, man, I just think I like Walmart, and I like the big banks, dude. Great capitalism.
All right, well, thanks for your call, Doug. So, what do you guys think? Do you guys like Walmart and the big banks?
I mean, that's crony capitalism, you know. They get a lot of favors because of this institution of government. You know, the government has a gun. Big companies lean on the government to steal land from other people, get it... you know, private-to-private transfer after the Kelo decision. So, I mean, it just there's no incentive for them to provide any good or service any better than the market would, let alone they're providing things that I don't think most people would want to pay for. So that
yeah, Walmart?
The government, but in that we see spill over to these the crony capitalism that we see today.
Sure. They definitely get, you know, plenty of handouts or back rubs from their buddies, you know, whether it's eminent domain, you know, taking people's land so that they can put up a supermart or
right,
what have you.
Trade subsidies, barriers, all that stuff.
Yeah, recently, not recently, probably within a year, Walmart decided to take sides with the government and say, you know, you're right, we should have a minimum wage and we should actually raise the minimum wage. But when you get so large, when you're the size of Walmart, you can afford that. You can, you know, just pass it on your customers, maybe absorb some of it. But your competitors can't. So, and they all have to pay this minimum wage. And so a lot of them have to go out of business, making more people go to Walmart. So that was a strategic decision on their part. Like Pete said, eminent domain, they're a big abuser as far as using the government to take property so that they can build Walmarts on it. I don't think you can have corporations as large as you do today without the state. And so if you want to see more decentralization, smaller corporations, go to that legal fiction that creates them, which is the state.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Ray in Washington. He wants to talk about New Hampshire taxes. Ray, you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Ray?
Good, good. This gives me a perfect chance where the bigwigs are going to ask some personal questions about taxes.
Okay.
State of New Hampshire. I did a little research. I was on the other night. Luther, you were on, and I was questioning you about your taxes at work.
Right.
And Ian, I had this discussion with him. So I wanted to... for you guys to let me know about some taxes. I've looked up online, and you guys actually, since you don't have a sales tax and an income tax, but you got some pretty progressive taxes there.
You're talking about with the housing market and restaurants and like
bed
taxes?
Yeah, the housing market and restaurants. You pay a tax on a meal there, don't you?
Yeah, we sure do. Like, well, it's 9%, but what we...
hotel rooms, too.
Yeah. We encourage people to not go out to dinner and instead cook for each other. At least I do. And
right,
I always try
to
buy agorist meals using the counter economic principles because it doesn't make any sense to have a Liberty gathering and you have to pay the state 9% for that.
Right. You see, in Washington, where I live, we have a sales tax, but you have an interest in dividend tax there. It would make it so anybody with large amounts of money, that wouldn't be a good state to move to, your state, because you can't get away from that 5% tax on your dividends and interest. Only if you don't have money, you know, small amounts of money. If you're somebody who has $5 or $6 million, that's a pretty progressive tax.
Sure. Is that tax applied directly to the bank accounts here in New
Hampshire? Yeah, to dividends and interest. A certain amount. You have to have over a certain amount. But once it starts hooking on in the $1 million, that's a huge tax. That's $5,000 for every $1 million. So if you got $4 million, that's $20,000.
Can you compare that to other states?
Most other states are going to have an income tax. What you guys do, another thing I noticed, you guys have a fair amount of debt, and this is what I was talking to Ian about the other day.
By the way, let me just jump in. You say you guys.
Not you, unless you're buying gasoline.
Well, no. The state of New Hampshire is a criminal organization, and I don't have much to do with them at all.
But you do buy gasoline,
they have a heavy gang presence here, so I'm not responsible for those taxes, and I'm not responsible for any debt that they have.
Do you buy gasoline?
I have been known to, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you got a 20 cent a gallon gasoline tax there, and you cannot get away from the federal gallon gasoline tax. That's 18.4 in every state. So whether or not you want to try to get away from it, you can't there. Okay? So
more people here advocate the ideal, so we'll get there sooner.
Thanks for the call, Ray. 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that you keep saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email. Don, do you know about...
DoubleMySpeed.com, DoubleMySpeed.com, DoubleMySpeed.com.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com. Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. And we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free when you call today. Don't decline. Declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better. Debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information.
For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call National Debt Relief today at 1-800-460-5733. 1-800-460-5733. This free information is available only for a limited time. Change your life. Call 1-800-460-5733 today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's the number. Call in, talk about whatever you want. And check out the Shrine of Free Male Listeners. Many ladies have taken the time to post their validated pictures over at the Shrine of Female Listeners. I wish it was millions.
Millions one day.
Yeah, millions one day. So check it out at shrine.freetalklive.com. Continuing on with Occupy Wall Street, Jason, I believe you have an article to share with us.
Yeah, so before Luther wrote up a story in his show prep about the another economic system that I guess one writer suggested, I guess all of us at this table, three of us co-hosting tonight, we're advocates of counter-economics, agorism. It's a good word to Google to learn more, but it's a lot more decentralized than what you described that this one occupier wanted. But this article is in The Economist. It's title is Leaderless Consensus-Based Participatory Democracy and Its Discontents. And I thought it was a good overview about how they govern themselves at the occupation. I'll read a little bit. Occupy Wall Street is not a mass protest movement intended to draw attention to economic injustice and political corruption. It seeks to embody and thereby to demonstrate the feasibility of certain ideas of participatory democracy. This is, to my mind, what makes OWS so interesting, and so unlike a Tea Party protest. OWS is not simply a group of like-minded people gathered together to make a point with a show of collective force, though it is that. The difference is that it has developed into an ongoing micro-society with a micro-government that directly exemplifies a principled alternative to the prevailing American order. The complaint that OWS has failed to produce a coherent list of demands seems to me to miss much of the point of the encampment in Zuccotti Park. The demand is a society more like the little ones OWS protesters have mocked up in the park. The mode of governance is the message. And what is the message of the, quote, General Assembly, the governing body of the original financial district occupation? According to its website, quote, New York General Assemblies are an open, participatory, and horizontally organized process through which we are building the capacity to constitute ourselves in public as autonomous, collective forces within and against the constant crisis of our times. So what do you guys think about all that, about them trying to form their own government within New York City?
I mean, I can tell you it's very time-intensive. I would not want to live in a society where I had to meet twice a day to hash stuff out with everybody. I mean, the horizontal decision-making process is hyped up, and I definitely think it's a better one. At least there's conversations that are had, and it's not so much top-down. But, you know, I've been to general assemblies where, you know, there's someone with a block or folks that have completely different views trying to, you know, win out. Essentially, you got to, at some point, conclude that people have different ideas at some points, and that's fine, just each their own. But there is definitely areas for agreement, like the anti-war issue. I think that should be something the Occupy movement everywhere embraces and agrees upon, as far as I can tell.
What do you think, Luther?
Well, I think if you're going to start if you want to start a government, it should be a voluntary association. I shouldn't have to be forced to be a part of it or to be subject to its rules or decisions. And that I'm fine with, you know, as long, like, if you want to have your own little micronation, fine, go right ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly okay with that.
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because at the very end of the article, they recommend seasteading if you want this type of government. But let me continue. Let's see. Yeah, so this all sounds a bit academic, but whether you're having trouble parsing this or not, this piece by Dan Barrett on the academic roots of OWS governing ideology is incredibly helpful. Mr. Barrett focuses on the influence of David Graeber, an ethnographer, anarchist, and reader in anthropology at the University of London's Goldsmiths campus. Mr. Graeber was impressed by the people of Bitafo and the Madagascar, who ruled themselves through the process of consensus decision-making, demonstrating the left anarchist ideal of, quote, democracy without government. Mr. Graeber applied what he learned in his ethnographic work in some of the left-wing anti-globalization protests of the 1990s, and has now brought his experience to bear on Wall Street, laying the groundwork for OWS's experiment in participatory democracy. As Mr. Barrett reports, quote, soon after the magazine Adbusters published an appeal to set up peaceful barricade on Wall Street, Mr. Graeber spent 6 weeks in New York helping to plan the demonstrations before an initial march by protesters on September 17th, which culminated in the occupation. Interesting. So it sounds like he had all this planned and had a lot of the key people that were involved in this buy in early on, and they just implemented it in their little micronation of sorts.
Mm.
But, I appreciate what you had to say, Pete, about it taking a long time, but I am interested in how people can get organized without the state and govern themselves. But I think, property rights are important, but also you have to have, like, social norms for people to understand, you know, what property rights are. And a lot of these occupiers, you know, they're sharing space, they're sharing food, they have donations that currently total more than $300,000, so they need to decide, like, how that money is spent. I don't know, do you guys have any recommendations about how you would run things?
I mean, I think the more decentralized, the better. You know, the fear initially of the Occupy movement was that it would get co-opted. At least one of my hesitations or worries was that it would be co-opted from the left, from the Democrats, as the Tea Party was from the right, from the Republicans. So I just think the more decentralized, the better. And, like, up here at Occupy New Hampshire and Manchester, Occupy Keene, there's been some good activists that have gone out there and, you know, essentially just say, hey, if you have an idea, run with it. So, you know, maybe you don't need these committees, just like more spontaneous, like ground up stuff. Like if someone is a good communicator and a lot of people have interest to hear what they're saying, you know, then they could just, you know, sit in a corner of, you know, sit on one area of the park and just share some thoughts and have a conversation or lead a session or do some skills training or whatever. But instead, everyone's forced into these using these hand signals, and you know, it still is a little bit rigid, at least for me.
Yeah, I think naturally leaders will come out of a society. I mean, people will follow who they want to follow, and you don't necessarily have to all follow the same person.
Definitely,
you can follow your own leader. You can be your own leader, and I think that happens in all animal societies. You know, they all have some kind of hierarchy that just evolves naturally. I mean, bees don't vote on a queen. You know, apes don't. It will just follow the alpha male. They won't. You know. Jimmy won't show up and be like, well, I want to be the alpha male now. Too bad, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that humans are capable of the same thing because we are animals, and we're amazing animals because we can cooperate. We have language. We have you know, the ability to use very complex technology and create it and think abstractly. So I think that we, if any species out there, has a better chance.
Yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of the people at the occupation don't like hierarchies, but although that's not true. They a lot of them like government a lot. They just don't like corporations. But I don't mind hierarchy, actually. I mean, I like efficiency, and there are economies of scale where, you know, it's more affordable to produce things on a mass level, and I can appreciate that as a consumer. But I would like for them to be more natural and not government-influenced.
Right. Maybe one of the examples of the decentralization I was trying to advocate could be, for example, instead of just a general donation to Occupy Wall Street, it could be like, you know, divvied up between like security, sanitation, food, whatever, like even like drill it down a little bit further. So it's actually like a little micro giving.
Yeah. And what I saw at the occupation when I was there a couple of weeks ago was they had a general assembly and they had to rush it because they needed to spend $3,000 on the sanitation of the park. This is before Bloomberg was threatening to kick everybody out for the sanitation concerns. And so they had a general assembly. They pushed it through, but it was time-consuming, and the bank was getting ready to close. So I think there's better alternatives, but I'm glad they're thinking of alternatives. It's better than the state.
Yeah, I think necessity will probably supply them with alternatives. So 855-450-3733. What are your thoughts on Occupy Wall Street? Are they doing a good job with this consensus? Are they not? More coming up.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office browse, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want? So long as your actions don't harm anyone else, there's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tattler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tattler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tattler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
smokers. Are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alli-C. Why Alli-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alli-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alli-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alli-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alli-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alli-C today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. Call in and talk about anything you want. This is Luther,
Jason,
and Pete.
And we're filling in for Ian and Mark while they're down in Houston at the Talkers Convention. And we're talking about Occupy Wall Street and whether it's effective or not. Now, Pete, you had mentioned over the break, I don't know if you want to talk about this again, but you were talking about your experience down there. Did you care to share that again regarding the signs?
Occupy New Hampshire, you talking about?
Oh, were you at Occupy
New Hampshire?
That was
Occupy New Hampshire. Oh, okay. Yeah, up in Manchester.
Okay.
I could go into it if you'd like.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, so Occupy New Hampshire is, every Occupy event that I've gone to has a little different vibe, different people involved, so it's pretty cool to see and know what's going on, but I got to Occupy New Hampshire in Manchester like almost a week into it because I had been in Keene before that. And so just getting up to speed and seeing what was going on, you know, there was a contingent of folks there advocating that a sign be made that says no alcohol or drugs use, and other folks who were saying, well, that doesn't need to happen. And I, you know, piped up and said, hey, individuals are responsible for their actions. We shouldn't ban a substance or not. It should be behavior that we're concerned about. And, you know, if need be, deal with it if something happens. But you know, individuals are responsible. So anyway, they ended up putting a sign up, and later that evening, some police officers parked and came up and said that they got on some guy for drumming. It was like 10:30. There's no residential around, and they were talking to the protesters who were, like, placating, essentially, like, just the cops were fishing for information, and they were being fed it, the cops at one point were like asking about the homeless people, and they're like, well, we put up signs to say, you know, no booze in here and stuff like that. And I was like, you guys are, you know, making these ascribing characteristics to individuals based on a group status that you see them as. And I said, you know, if anything, I said, we should talk about your guys' use. I said, because law enforcement has the highest alcoholism rate. And, you know, some of the people there were like, oh, that's too far. And I was like, why is that too far? It's a fact. You know, and I started trying to talk about the relationship and the power dynamic about, you know, folks that wear the badges, they just use force or they threaten force. And earlier that day, when the cops had showed up. You know, there's a guy there from town, from West Manch. He drove his own RV there, and for almost a week had been, people had donated food. He'd been feeding folks. And at one point, these cops came over and asked to speak to the leader. And I said, hey, no one's in charge here. And eventually another guy came over, and he started talking to the cops. They walked away a little bit to get out of earshot. So I walked over there live streaming, and I said, hey, do you mind if I film to the occupier? And he said, well, we're trying to have a good rapport. So he essentially asked me not to film. And so, I mean, I disagree with him, but I respected him. So I walked away. But in that conversation, it was when the police officers, the folks wearing badges, said, you know, after 11 p.m., if some people are here, we're going to make arrests. And then a couple days later, after they had moved to another park, they did arrest five people and issued 14 summons. So,
and you covered that all. You had it live streamed on copblock.org, right?
Right, right.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that, and it was. I'm glad you documented the footage there, but it was a shame. And like you said, just days before, people were trying to placate the police, but once they get the order to remove people, you'll see it. You'll see what they did in Boston, where they had a park surrounded by law enforcement with dump trucks for all their tents and stuff.
Right. Have you seen that picture from Phoenix? And then just in Oakland, you know, yesterday morning, 5 a.m., they roll in there, 500 cops, rubber bullets.
Sure,
grenade canisters, helicopters. I mean,
have you guys heard about some of the retaliation that groups like Anonymous have been doing against the police officers for their mass arrests?
They've been publicly outing them, right, and releasing confidential files and details about the officers themselves.
Passwords for their union websites, you know, their membership websites, and Facebook information, cell phone information, all kinds of stuff like that.
I think if there's people out there that are aggressing against others, I think that information should be out there, and so people can be warned.
Now, did you guys see Dave Ridley's video from Occupy New Hampshire, where a gentleman who lived in the area came out and was threatening to come down with boys with baseball bats and chase the protesters out?
The occupiers chase them out?
Yes, chase the occupiers.
I did not see that video.
Yeah, I think I missed it. I saw the earlier one, though.
Yeah, his complaint was that they were just being too loud. He's like, you can do it all day long if you want, but when the sun goes down, please be quiet. But he didn't handle that in a proper way, I feel, because he came out, he didn't say, please be quiet. He came out saying, if you don't be quiet, I'll come out here with my friends and we're going to beat you guys down.
Yeah, that's not the way to do it.
No, not at all.
But he chose not to outsource the violence to the state. He was going to take care of that himself with a posse.
Mm. Yep. So, Pete, did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
I mean, I guess I'll briefly touch on the October 22nd coalition rally that I mentioned. It's the 16th annual one they've had. They've had it in a number of cities in North America this past year. Essentially, it's a organization that tries to give a voice to victims of police brutality. A lot of folks who spoke have lost loved ones to aggressive actions by people with badges. And just hearing these stories, I mean, it was really, for me, really like, it struck a nerve, you know, just like it's not isolated incidents, and there's a pattern of these kind of things. And I mean, more and more people are seeing it now thanks to the existence of inexpensive video technology and you know, the internet and stuff like that. But it's just, one is too many, and it's ridiculous. But I don't know, I guess this all ties back to transparency, and a lot of the reasons these folks with badges aren't being held accountable is because they have these legal fiction, like sovereign immunity and stuff, and it's just ridiculous, but more and more people are starting to see this, and I think rightly so, advocate for accountability. And
sure. And actually, I have an article here from The Guardian from the United Kingdom about police brutality and charges sweep across the U.S., it's entitled. Officer Michael DeRajita Jati had no idea that the FBI was listening to his phone calls. Otherwise, he probably would not have described his arrest and detention of an innocent black New Yorker in a manner he did. Darag Jati, boasted to a woman friend that while on patrol in Staten Island, he had fried another it was no big deal, he added. The FBI, which had been investigating another matter, then tried to work out what happened. According to court documents released in New York, Darag Jati and his partner had randomly stopped and frisked a black man who had become angry and asked for Darag Jati's name and badge number. The officer, 32, and with 8 years on the force, had no reason to stop the man and had found nothing illegal, but he arrested him and fabricated an account of him resisting arrest. The man, now referred to in papers only as John Doe because of fears for his safety, spent 2 nights in jail. He had merely been walking alone through the neighborhood.
This is the New York Police Department?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I had some run-ins with them when I was at the occupation. And this is a recent story that happened? Wow.
Yes, this is from The Guardian. It's actually about stories all over the country, including Naomi Wolf.
Yeah.
Her arrest, you know, which obviously made headlines, or some headlines, not really in the mainstream media. They don't even know who she is.
Can I jump in with my own story with the New York Police Department? So I was interviewing Ethan Lee Vida, a friend of mine who spends a lot of time in the Shire, but he was at the occupation as well. And we just we needed a place away from the crowds so that it would be a good audio for this video that I was shooting. And so we got in front of this big piece of art. There was really nobody around, but it was in front of yet another skyscraper, corporate-type building. They didn't recognize the name of the corporation. But so I'm interviewing him for a while, and then this officer shows up. He was actually in a blue turtleneck, but he was one of the white shirts. So he's one of the officers with the New York Police Department.
One of the superiors, you mean?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're all police officers, but he was one of the people in charge. I think he was like a lieutenant or something. And so he tells us to take off, and my feet didn't move at all. I was going to continue the interview, and so I have all this on camera because I was interviewing Ethan when this guy shows up. But I'm like, look around. There's nobody around us. We're not blocking anything. This is a large sidewalk with a piece of art on it, and we're next to the art. And I say, why? What's your justification for bothering us? And there can't possibly be a law that would make us leave. And so, anyway, he got his shoe right on top of my shoe. It was, right next to it. And then when I told him to look around, there's nobody around, he didn't put his hands on me, but he, pushed me because we were so close, and he was a large guy. Just trying to intimidate me, and I'm like, wow, this is exactly what the protesters are complaining about, and all the dirty things that you hear about New York City police cops. I mean, this guy just did not care that it's all on
did
video.
Did you say that to him?
I tried to interview him at that point because the camera was rolling, and then he walked off. He actually walked inside to the corporate office and talked to who I think is one of their security guys, but it was pretty dirty dealings.
Wow, sounds like it. 855-450-3733. Call in, tell us about your experience down at Occupy, wherever. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up with Luther.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's, helping bring your family together with wholesome dinner options, even on the busiest of nights. Find dinner table ideas to bring your family together at letsfixdinner.com. To get kids involved in dinner time conversation, ask specific questions, not broad ones. Instead of what happened today at school, try what was the best thing that happened today. The more specific you are, the more they'll have to say. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
You know the U.S. dollar is devaluing. You can see it happening every day. You know a new currency will take over at some point. Wouldn't you like to be in on the ground floor? Bitcoins. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use them anywhere in the world, and their value seems only to be increasing. Find out more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in a month. Your dollars are going down. Bitcoins are going up. Weusecoins.org.